grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth, to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up to your life all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading from Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The
Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Last December, a good friend of mine, Pastor Larry Koger, died suddenly and unexpectedly. Although he was only 56 years old, and the genetic heart condition that he had not been diagnosed, he did have his funeral planned.
About 10 years prior to this, he had attended a funeral of a colleague of his wife, a teacher friend, who had died unexpectedly without any plans being made and without his affairs in order. And Larry and Sharon attended that funeral, and on their way home, they said, you know, we should really have some things put in order. We should plan our funeral. And so they did that. Their daughter came to call it the purple folder of death. They had this purple folder, I guess, where they would put in occasionally when they would meet a song or a scripture passage that they especially liked or something, they would put that into that folder. So when Larry died, all these years after this event, after they started having their purple folder of death, they knew exactly what he wanted for his memorial service. I attended Larry's memorial service a couple weeks before Christmas, and they put together a service just like he wanted. He had written in that folder, stories, these two hymns and only these two hymns, and this verse of scripture, a single verse. Now, you're probably wondering why I'm telling you this story today. Well, we had that single verse that Larry wanted for his memorial service. We just read that in the gospel this morning. You might think that if you were to choose, or if someone was to choose, a single verse from scripture, it would likely be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Martin Luther called that verse the gospel in a nutshell. Football fans, paint that number, 316, on their face, or put it on a big banner to wave at the ball games. It is a favorite verse. A lot of us like that verse because it points to God's profound love for us and the great depths to which God goes to convey that love. That single verse that tells us the most about the most abundant and surprising love of God. This really is a great verse. Sometimes it's called the world's most famous Bible verse. But Larry didn't choose John 3:16. He chose John 3:17. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This verse really opens up and broadens that previous verse, that more familiar verse. Of course, God did send his Son out of love, which is what verse 16 begins with. But in 17, we get the clear explanation, the affirmation, really, that the Son was not sent to condemn, but to save. It's not about who's in and who's out, but rather it's about God's consistent choice to love, to bless, to save the whole world. It's about God choosing to save the whole world. The Greek word for world is cosmos. And that's the word that John used in his whole gospel whenever he spoke of the world. And it's not just, that word doesn't mean just the world, but a world that is hostile to God. So we could actually translate these verses this way. For God so loved the God-hating world that he gave his only son. And verse 17, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn even this world that despises God, but instead so that the world that rejects God might be saved through him. Really? This is such crazy love that God has for the world that turns its back on God, loving everyone. Even God haters, even God despisers, loved by God. God does not condemn, but saves. And isn't this good news for all of us? Now, I don't know why Pastor Larry selected this single verse. He did have a delightful, irreverent sense of humor. He would have wanted us to notice that he didn't select a whole passage like everybody else in the world. And he would also want us to notice that he didn't select the most popular verse in the Bible. And he did want us to pay attention to this good news. Our world needs to hear this good news right now. In the past week, there have been threats made against our Jewish brothers and sisters and cemeteries vandalized, and schools and community centers have been threatened. My niece sends her children to a synagogue school in New York City. And while it wasn't that school that was threatened, it still makes me shudder. And we've all heard of the increased animosity directed toward our Muslim brothers and sisters ever since 9/11, and especially more recently. If God's love is for all of us, and we know that it is, then we who have experienced that love in Jesus Christ are called to see all persons of other faiths and people of no faith at all. We are called to see people with God's eyes, eyes of profound and surprising love, not just some, but all. Last week, a colleague posted a letter written by George Washington in 1790, and it was addressed to a Jewish synagogue in Rhode Island. This is what George Washington wrote. It is now no more that toleration is spoken of as if it were an indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. For happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens in giving it on all occasions their efficacious support. What a great vision that this nation had at its very beginning, and a no less grand vision that we should have all these years later. A vision that ours would be a government and a people that gives bigotry no sanction and persecution no assistance. A vision that jumps right out of the mouth of Jesus in John 3:16 and 17. We should be a people that give bigotry no sanction and persecution no assistance. That is the bold declaration that God makes for us, that God loves us so much. This is the bold declaration that God loves the whole world, not just part. And these verses, we also hear our calling to extend that love to everyone we encounter, This is how we witness our faith, and this is how we invite others to share it with us. What a joy to celebrate Olivia's baptism today and to continue to prepare with Deborah for her Easter baptism. And as we stood earlier in the service, we three times renounced the evil and the forces of evil in the world. And three times we made bold declaration of our belief in the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May these promises continue to ring in our ears, to ring in our hearts throughout this Lenten season and always. Remember, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Your salvation is secured. You are in God's crazy love. That love of God is so abundant for you. God's most amazing grace is poured out for you. Amen.